participation in the journeys that I was permitted to take with my brother into different parts of the heavenly kingdom. I never lacked time for social pleasures and enjoyments, for there is no clashing of duties with inclination, no unfulfilled desires, no vain strivings for the unattainable in that life, as in the life of earth. Many precious hours of intercourse were spent in my dear father's home, and sometimes on rare occasions I was permitted to accompany him to his field of labour and assist him in instructing those lately come into the new life with little or no preparation for its duties and responsibilities. On one occasion he said to me, "I have the most difficult problem to deal with I have ever yet met in this work. It is how to enlighten and help a man who suddenly plunged from an apparently honourable life into the very depths of crime. I have never been able to get him to accompany me to the river, where these earthly cobwebs would be swept from his poor brain. His excuse being always that God's mercy is so great in allowing him inside heaven's gates at all, that he is content to remain always in its lowest scale of enjoyment and life. No argument or teaching thus far can make him alter his decision. He was led astray by infatuation for a strange woman, and killed his aged mother in order to secure her jewels for this wretched creature. He was executed for the crime, of which in the end he sincerely repented, but he left life with all the horror of the deed clinging to his soul. Has he seen his mother since coming here? Does she know of his arrival?" "No, she is entirely alone in this world, and it was not thought wise to tell her of his coming till his soul was in better condition to receive her. He was an only child and does not lack the elements of refinement, but he was completely under the control of this vile though fascinating woman. It is said she drugged his wine and incited him to do the dreadful deed while under its influence, because of her hatred for his mother, whose influence was against her. When he came from under the influence of the wine, he was horrified at what he had done, and his infatuation for the woman turned to loathing, but, alas, too late. He would not see her during his entire incarceration."
"How long was he in prison?"
"Almost a year."
"Has he seen the Christ?"
"No, he begs not to see him. He is very repentant and grateful to be saved from the wrath he feels was his just punishment. But though he is conscious that his sin is forgiven, he does not feel that he can ever stand in the presence of the Holy One. And here, as upon earth, each must be willing to receive him. His presence is never given undesired. I have not yet appealed for higher help. My ambition is to lead these weak souls upward through the strength entrusted to me. Can you suggest anything that would probably reach him?"
"His mother.
May I bring her?" He thought a moment reflectively, then said, "A woman's intuition. Yes, bring her." I soon was on my way. I found the poor woman, laid the facts gently before her, and waited her decision. There was no hesitancy upon her part. In an instant she said,
"My poor boy! Certainly, I will go with you at once."
We found my father waiting for us and went immediately to the great home where these students, would we call them, stayed. It was a beautiful great building in the middle of a park with shaded walks and fountains and flowers everywhere. To one just freed from earth, it seemed a paradise indeed. But to those of us who had tasted heaven's rarer joys, something was wanting. We missed the lovely individual homes, the little children playing on the lawns, the music of the angel choir. It was tame, indeed, beside the pleasures we had tasted. We found the young man seated beneath one of the flower-laden trees, intently perusing a book that my father had left with him. There was a peaceful look on his pale face, but it was rather the look of patient resignation than of ardent joy. His mother approached him alone, my father and I remaining in the background. After a little time he glanced up and saw his mother standing near him. A startled look came into his face, and he rose to his feet. She extended her arms towards him and cried out pathetically,
"John, my dear boy, come home to me, I need you."
That was all.
With a low cry, he knelt at her feet and clasped her knees, sobbing.